Walter James Edgerton. So much of his life was based on fiction and deception that Walt sometimes had difficulty separating the true from the not-so-true. He had indeed been arrested and jailed when he was 14, not for hacking into the school system's examinations, but for attempting to blackmail his middle school principal, threatening to reveal that they had had sex together, which was false, unless she altered his grades, which were less than admirable. His trial was so brief that he didn't realize it was over until the judge declared him guilty and sentenced him to 5 years in a corrective school. It was there that his talents blossomed. Walt obtained contraband narcotics for his fellow teenage jailbirds. He sold forbidden phones and notebooks to them. He learned how to smuggle prostitutes, male as well as female, into their cells. He himself remained a virgin. He was never raped. He never hunted down his non-existent violator. He never killed anyone. But one fine day, actually it was raining hard all morning, he was taken from his cell and brought to a conference room. Waiting for him there was a tall, broad-shouldered, blonde woman with a generous figure and a face that would have been beautiful if she would only smile. But she was deadly serious. She offered Walt freedom and even a decent income if he would cooperate with the World Council Security Agency, of which she was a high-ranking member. A recruiter, she called herself, working to find and stop criminals before they could harm society. So Walt became an agent provocateur. At first he had been thrilled about it. His job was to mix with the young and disaffected, the unemployed, unemployable, youthful men and women who lived on government subsidies, find the ones who were willing to commit crimes, and see to it that the police apprehended these potential criminals before they could do much harm to society. It meant living like a smelly, unshaven bum much of the time, but Walt didn't mind that too much. It was part of the deception, part of the role he was playing. He found that there were plenty of young women who were willing to trade sex for adventure, for advancement, for staving off the loneliness of their threadbare existences. Over the years, Walt became a guru, wandering across the country, meeting youngsters who were desperately seeking guidance and friendship, searching for some goal in their cheerless lives. He began to believe he was honestly doing good among the kids growing up in the public housing projects and dark streets of their overcrowded cities. He kept a neat little apartment for himself in Oakland, California, and repaired to it in between assignments. He worked off and on at writing his autobiography, partly accurate, mostly fiction. Then he got an urgent call from Barcelona, from the woman who had originally recruited him. "People are frightened of this star traveler," she had told him. "They're afraid we're going to be taken over by aliens." Walt had never considered that possibility. Neither had anyone he'd met or worked with. "There must be terrorist groups scheming to assassinate him," Gilda Nordquist went on. "We've got to identify them and find out what they're up to." Walt understood what she was saying. She expected him to produce a terrorist cell that would try to assassinate the star traveler. And if they succeeded, so much the better.